steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of God. Or as the American Standard puts it, always excelling in the work of God. And I like the way some translations read, because you know that your labor for the Lord is not wasted. Now, what does it take for us to do that kind of faith? What would it take to keep me going in spite of everything that's going on around me? In spite of my struggles, in spite of my despair sometimes because of my own sin? Well, I know one thing that will help. And the thing that I know about is the resurrection. We read this morning from the 20th chapter of John, a passage we've all read at one time or another, a passage that we're familiar with, and how wonderful it must have been to be there when Jesus was raised from the dead, to run to the tomb, to look inside and to see that that tomb was empty. And John records it for us in a way with which we are really familiar. But I want to read this morning from the 16th chapter of the book of Mark. Now, before we begin this, I want to just preface it by saying that in some of the newer manuscripts that we find of the original letters, you know that the original was written in Greek, and we don't have any of the original letters that the apostles wrote, but we can get close. And as archaeology improves, we keep finding older and older manuscripts. Some of the oldest manuscripts stop where we're going to stop this morning. That kind of shocking in a way, because that doesn't seem like that is where I really want the story to end. I would prefer it go on like it does in John. So let's read in Mark, the 16th chapter. When the Sabbath was passed, of course, this was the Jewish Passover, and the Sabbath, of course, is associated with the Passover. Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome brought spices that they might come and anoint him. Jesus had been killed. He had been taken down from the cross, placed in a tomb, his body unprepared to be buried. Why? Because the Sabbath was going to happen. And you had to do that because you couldn't touch the body of a dead man on the Sabbath. If you had touched the body of a dead man, you'd be unclean. You couldn't participate. So on Sunday, the day after the Sabbath, they came to prepare the body to be buried. This was Jesus, as Mark so eloquently pointed out this morning. This is Jesus' body. Very early on the first day of the week, they came to the tomb when the sun was risen. And they were saying among themselves, "Who will roll away the stone from the door of the tomb?" Looking up, they see that the stone is rolled back. It was exceeding great. Entering into the tomb, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, arrayed in a white robe, and they were amazed. He said to them, "Be not amazed. You seek Jesus, the Nazarene, who has been crucified. He's risen. He's not here. Behold, the place where they laid him. But go, tell his disciples and Peter that he goes before you into Galilee. There you shall see him as he said unto you." And this is the conclusion of the record in some translations of Mark. They went out, fled from the tomb, for trembling and astonishment had come upon them. They said nothing to anyone because they were afraid. Resurrection ought to create faith. If Jesus really is raised from the dead, like the Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15, then our faith means something. If he's not raised from the dead, we're of all men most miserable. But they were afraid. Now, the truth is that they didn't completely understand. However plainly Jesus had said to them, I'm going to be raised, they didn't quite grasp it. And the time came and they forgot what Jesus said. How do I know they forgot? Well, these three loving women confessed their hopelessness, give evidence to the fact that they had forgotten, because even though Jesus had said, I'll be in the ground for 3 days, then I'll be raised, they went out to prepare the body for burial. They didn't remember. Now, resurrection deniers suggest that these first disciples were so much expecting Jesus to rise from the dead that they persuaded themselves that he had risen, despite clear evidence to the contrary. They just wanted this to happen. And because they wanted it to happen, they convinced themselves that it did happen, even though it hadn't. Yeah, I know how easy it is to do that. To be bamboozled, for want of a better term, by your own intense desire. I wanted Kim to marry me. I wanted her to love me, and I wanted it so badly that I could convince myself that she did. Now, it turned out that she actually did, but you ever been there? You want something so badly. You want Jesus to be raised from the dead. And the resurrection deniers would say Jesus didn't really raise from the dead. You only wanted him to, and because of that, you convinced yourself that he had. You know something? I know those people are wrong. How do I know that? This is a strong argument. They went out to prepare his body for burial. They didn't start jumping up and down because Jesus has been raised from the dead. That's what they would have done if they had expected it and wanted it so badly that they could convince themselves that it had happened, even though it hadn't. That's not what they did. Their original unbelief in Jesus' promised resurrection is a strong argument for the steadfastness of their final faith. It took them a while to get there. They didn't understand everything that Jesus had said. And, you know, I read the New Testament, and I think, how could you not understand? Jesus said he was going to be crucified and he's going to rise from the dead. How could you miss it? But they had missed it. They went out to prepare him to be buried. But they have faith. And that faith is incredibly strong. It's not just surface understanding that makes great faith. You know what makes great faith? It's a complete understanding. And you're not going to be there when you first encounter Jesus. Like Mark said this morning, it's a lifelong learning. Our faith needs to be complete. It needs to be at a depth that will enable our faith to stand. That's the goal that we have. I don't want to just have a little bit of understanding about who God is. I want to struggle with that. I want to confront it. I want to think about it every day. And as I become more complete in my understanding, then I'll become like the apostles were. Even John says, they saw the empty tomb, and then they went home. They didn't quite know what that meant. There are a lot of people today that have a little bit of understanding about Jesus. The problem is they just don't have enough. They've kind of heard what people say, and they've kind of read a little bit of the Bible, but they've never sat down and read it. And that's really sad. That's not what it's going to take. So yes, the resurrection is what will cause you to have the kind of faith that we want to have. Not surface resurrection. Not surface understanding of that. Not something that you do once in a great while, something that you think about once a year. This is something you think about all the time. That's why we'll be here next week. And we'll still be thinking about trying to understand more about what Jesus did. We'd love to have everybody back here next week so we can think about it more.